Let's learn some Chumash today. This is Parshas. Parshas Vayishlach. It's a beautiful parsha. It's a very long parsha. There are a ton of things. There are so many different inyanim in this week's parsha. Let's start. I want to start with just a couple of questions. I'll try to give some answers, the first part. But the questions, I feel, are really stronger than the answers. They're better than the answers. Maybe we can use this as something to think about. Okay, first question. Yaakov Avinu, he realizes, he hears, Vayishlach Yaakov Alechem Lefonev Alesev Ochiz Artsa Seirs De'edam, and he hears that Esav is coming to greet him, is coming his way. Vayishuva HaMalachim El Yaakov Lemar Bonu Elochich El Esav, we've come, we've met up with your brother, V'gam Hoylech Lik Rosecha V'arba Me'ois Ish Imoi. He's coming to get you. Rashi elaborates, he's not your friend, he's your enemy, he's coming to kill you. So what does the next pasuk say? The pasuk says two words. Vayira Yaakov me'oid, vayetzer loy. There are two reactions, two separate reactions Yaakov Avinu had in response to the report that Esav is coming to him. Number one, he was afraid. Vayira Yaakov me'oid, very, very much. Number two, Vayetzer loy. He was in distress. Vayetzer comes from the word tsar, pain. These are two very different feelings, emotions. There is fear and pain. They're very different. And Rashi picks up on the difference between the two. And Rashi explains, what was he afraid of? He was afraid that he would be killed, that he would be a victim. Him, his family, they would be wiped out. Vayetzer loy, something very, very shocking what Rashi says. He had pain that it may be necessary for him to go on the offensive and would have to kill other people. He may have to kill his brother. He may have to kill the 400 men. He may have to kill who knows who he may have to engage in battle and take their lives. This reminds me of that story we saw many, many times, which is very quickly when a Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky's shir late. And Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said to him, "Why are you late?" So he said to him, "I was in a car accident." And the boy was a bit shaken up. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said to him, "Did you hurt anyone? Did you cause someone harm in this accident?" And the boy said, "No." And then he said, "Are you okay? Did you get hurt?" So he says, "No, I'm okay." So the boy, it lingered in his mind, this the response for the days. And a few days later, he said to his Rebbe, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, "Why, when I told you I was in the car accident, did you first ask me if I hurt someone? The first thing you said to me, did you hurt someone? And then you asked me if I'm okay. Shouldn't it be the other way around? Shouldn't it be the first thing you say to me, are you okay? And then the second thing you'll ask me is, what happened? Did I hurt anyone in this accident?" So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said to him, "You're wrong. That's the wrong attitude. Your first obligation in this world is do no harm. If you're in a car accident, it means there's someone else that was in the accident. What happened to them? Did you cause them to be harmed, to be injured? That is your first obligation in this world. Do no harm." That was my first question. The second thing is, are you okay? That's the attitude you're supposed to have. So here, it's in the reverse order, okay? It's the reverse order. So I'm not, I don't want to, maybe that's also something to think about. I don't know why it's in the reverse order. First is Vayira, he was afraid for himself. Vayetzer, he was afraid he may cause harm to others. Now, it's not really Akash, because over here, Esav was a Rasha. Esav is a Roidev. So Yaakov doesn't have any obligation to be more concerned about the Rasha than to be concerned about himself. So the order really is not really a question in this case. But still in all, the Pasuk explicitly mentions that he had pain, tsar, that it may be necessary for him to kill someone else, collateral damage and war, v'chulu v'chulu. It's not a pleasant thing. Okay, fine. Okay, that's an important vart in and of itself. Now, my question, which I don't have a clear answer for, is, what does he do? He prepares. And then he davens. Part of the preparation, he divides the Sholosh Machanos, he divides his family into two Machanos, and he sends them a lavish gift. And then he davens. What's the tefila? Vayoyimer Yaakov. He engages in an elaborate prayer. Elokei Avi Avraham Elokei Avi Yitzchak Hashem Vayoyimer Alai. Shovli Artzecha Ulemoyladecha Vayeti Vayimach Katointi Mikol Hachasodim Mikol Emes Shasisa Vdecha Vakim Makli Vchulu Chulu Hatzileni No Miarochi Miareisav. And then he winds down Ki Yorei Onoichi Oisoi Pen Yovoi Vihikani Eim Albonim. And that's it. And then the Atomarta, hey, Teve, Teve, Mach, Vesamdi, Azarchok, Hoya, Mashalo, Yusuf, and my wife. He's going to wipe me out, but you promise that you'll be good to me, and my seed will be like the sand of the sea. Wait a minute, that's only one part of his concern. Yaakov Avinu had two concerns. Number one, Vayir Yaakov Me'oid. Number two, Vayetzer Loi. So when he davens to Hashem, he explicitly says, Ribbono shel Olam, I'm afraid. Hatzileni no miyad ochi miyad esav ki yorei. I'm afraid. Ki yorei onoichi oisai. That corresponds to vayiro Yaakov me'oid. But what about the other half of the equation? When Yaakov reacted, when he heard a report that Esav is coming, it doesn't just say that he was afraid, it says Vayetzer Loi. Why didn't he be pray to Hashem that he should, that this tsar, the pain of not needing to take the lives of other people, should be removed? Why is his prayer only focused on the first half, Vayira, and is not focused on the second half of his concern, Vayetzer Loi? Am I being clear? There are two, what? There are two parts to Gesundheit. There are two parts to his concern. Vayiro Yaakov Me'oid Vayetzer. His tefillah only expresses the first half. Vayiro does not express the second half. Vayetzer Loi. What happened? So I don't have a good answer. I just more of a heart. The only thing that I can think is, let me even add more to the question. Maybe you'll tell me that tsar is not something that you express in prayer. It's not true. How do I know it's not true? What is the ultimate prayer? Now we think it's Shemona Esrei, which it is, but Shemona Esrei concludes with something that we do over the top. Nefilas Apayim. Okay, now, Nefilas Apayim, we spent a lot of time learning Nefilas Apayim, and what it was originally is not what we do today. But today, a major chunk of Klal Yisrael begins Nefilas Apayim with a pasuk, Vayoyimer David El God, Tsar Li Me'oid. It's like the spitz. You come to the finish of Shemona Esrei, you Nefil Al Panav, and what do you say? Not everyone says this, okay? Not everyone says this pasuk, but those who say it, Tsar Li Me'oid. In your prayer, what are you expressing to Hashem? You don't express, Hashem, I'm afraid. I'm afraid a bolt of lightning is going to come out of the sky and wipe me. I'm afraid of the stock market. I'm afraid of this, afraid of that. All my anxieties. That's not what you... Tsar Li Me'oid. I have a lot of pain, Hashem. I'm in a state of pain. Get me out of this. Pain. You don't focus on the yira. And Yaakov Avinu is pumfakert. Yaakov Avinu, when he's davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's saying, I'm afraid ki yorei onoichi yoisai pen yilavikani ein albonim. What about the tsar? So it compounds, it makes the question even greater. If what we do today, we focus on the tsar, not on the yira. When we haven't died, then we say to Hashem, we're afraid. We don't say that. I'm not aware that we say in Shemona Esrei now, Nusach Tzil, we're afraid. We don't say those words. We say that we are in pain. Tsar li me'oid. So my high, what's going on over here? Like I told you, the question better than any answer I can think of. The only thing that maybe we tried to suggest is, and this is something which there is truth to this, is that when a person davens, davening is not just getting an answer. Davening itself is therapy. This is a fact. When a person davens, it's not important that Hashem should answer the question. I got a problem. I need a problem. So you know, people mention Hashem sometimes answers you no. Sometimes the answer is a yes. Sometimes the answer is I've heard your request, and the answer is no. But there's another type of prayer where there's no response. Not a yes, not a no. You don't even know if your message went through. Sometimes you send someone an email, and you really don't know if the message, if the guy got my text, got my email. You don't know if you have the right number. So was there any value in you davening when you don't even know if your message even reached its destination, the Ribbono Shel Olam? Not, no such thing, of course. Every tefillah has, we are HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears. But is there a value? And the answer is absolutely. Because in addition to davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the dveikus and davening and getting a yes or even getting a no is also a communication. It's also a satisfying. Hashem acknowledged my prayer and he told me no. Acknowledgement. There's something about davening that's just pure therapy. Pure therapy. When you daven, you are doing therapy to recognize there is a creator and everything is in the Yad Hashem. I've done mine. I've done what I'm supposed to do. And there are things in this world that are not under my control. And I am responsible. I definitely have obligations. But I am acting in a responsible way. I am acting responsibly ben Adam la'mokoyim. I'm acting responsibly ben Adam la'chaveroi. I've done what is required of me to the best I can possibly do. And therefore, there's no need to feel pain anymore. The davening itself is a release of tzar. Yaakov Avinu says, Vayira Yaakov me'oid vayetzer loy. He goes on to daven, daven. At the end of his davening, he says, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm afraid. That's right. The fear is not going to go away. Because you don't know what's going to happen. And indeed, your life may be taken. But the tzar, tzar is a different type of emotion. And pain is something where you can, if it's psychological pain, there's therapy. There is therapy that can release that psychological pain. Fear, I don't know if I'm saying what's correct. Fear, there are different types of fear. Okay, sometimes we confuse fear with pain. Fear is also a form of pain. But then there's a fear which is not a fear of pain. You have to go talk to some of the big mumchim, Dennis.
Right.
The different types of fear. How does fear, in your opinion, relate to tzar, to pain?
Maybe not irrational, maybe not. There are clearly plenty of anxieties people have.
But there's also a fear of an intellectual fear.
Is that fear with that?
Without pain. It's, I have a plan, I have a goal to achieve a mission, and I'm afraid that my mission will never be completed. But it's not...
That's fear.
What?
I don't know if you...
Is that called fear? Okay.
Yeah, not psychologically. You might be disappointed, etc. I don't know if it's a fear per se.
Okay.
It's not called fear of failure?
Okay, so like I said, let's just leave this hanging. Something to think about. I think the principles are all principles. How they all come together, I told you, I don't know, but there's something going on over here. You can't deny the fact that it says, Vayira, Vayetzer. There are two different elements. And Rashi explains, I'm afraid for myself, I'm afraid that I will have to cause harm to others. And then he davens. And there's no mention whatsoever about the tsar. Yet, and there's an emphasis of ki yorei onochi. And don't tell me that when you daven, you don't daven for tsar. Because every single day we daven, we say, Vayomer Dovel God, tsar li me'oid. We use that expression in the main part of our davening. So you see that we do daven for tsar. So why didn't Yaakov mention tsar? And there's also no question about that when you daven, daven is therapy. Daven is a release of tsar. So why didn't it release the year or the fear? I don't know. But there is something here that needs to be addressed, which I think is just worth mentioning the question.
That's why some of the Mepharshim say that. What was he afraid of? Since he experienced fear, and in last week's Parsha, God told him that ki lo esavcha ad asher imosisi, that I'm going to return you to your land. And since he was still exhibiting fear, he had a lot of tsar, that he was afraid. I mean, God made me a promise. Why should I be afraid? That's the problem.
Okay.
Why should I be afraid? And I can't.
Shema Yigrei Machet.
Also, adding to what you're saying, the article seems to say that his fear was that in defending himself,
he will kill other people.
So maybe if his tefillah comes out that he shouldn't be be afraid, then he's no longer if that's successful, he won't have to come to hurt anyone.
Nip it in the bud. All you need to daven, he's saying a very good idea. He said that if he'll succeed in the prayer of Vayira, then Memela will be no tsar. In Vayira is everything. Once he addresses the issue of Vayira, then automatically there will not be any tsar. It's not two separate things. One is dependent upon the other. I hear, it's an idea. I hear, yeah, it's something definitely to think about. It's something to discuss. Let's go to another idea. And this is another question. I think this question is even a bigger question. It's even a bigger question. This is something, again, I don't have a good answer. I just want to throw out the question, and you'll come up with good answers. Yaakov Avinu says to Hashem, Kotointi. I'm undeserving. Kotointi, now Kotointi Rashi means my merits have been diminished. I've used up my life savings. I had a nice account, life savings account. I've squandered all my life savings, my zchusim. Kotointi, mikol, what did I spend it on? Mikol hachasodim u'mikol ho'emes. Because you, Hashem, have bestowed upon me kindness and emes. Asher asisa es avdecha, what you've done to your servant. So my question is, I understand that my life savings of zchusim, zchuyos, have been diminished because you have done with me chesed. Chesed, by definition, means something that I do not deserve. I don't deserve it. So if I don't deserve it, so obviously Hashem is taking from my life savings. But why have my life savings of zchuyos been diminished because of MS? MS is truth, is real. It's deserved. MS means I deserve something. You do something right. That's the way it is. If I work for you and you pay me per hour $10 an hour and I work for 10 hours, I deserve $100. That's MS. That's the agreement. I work for an hour, I get $10. I work for 10 hours, I get $100. I've done mine, you've done yours. This is MS. What does Rashi say MS? Rashi elaborates on the word MS. And mitas devarecha, the truth of your, let me just find the words of Rashi. What pasuk is it?
Yud Aleph.
Okay, Yud Aleph. Don't break it up. Rashi doesn't break them up. My merits have been diminished because of the kindness and the MS. From the time that you've promised me all of the blessings, nis lachlachti b'chet, I become dirty in sin. The yigroim lead, the sins have caused, he moser b'yad esav. Okay, umikol MS. Amitas divarecha, sheshamarta li, you've guarded for me kol haftochos shehivtachtani, all of the promises which you've promised. You've made promises to me, and you've kept them. You Hashem are emes. You made a promise. What?
It's not about Yaakov. It's God keeping.
Right, but Hashem only gives you a promise because you deserve me because for a reason. My question is, MS does not seem to fit well with Kotointi. MS is not something which should diminish. When it comes to Chesed, you don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. Someone's got to pay. There's no free lunch. If you're not paying for it, the government is paying for it. Where do they get the money from? I don't know. But that's not our problem. Someone's paying for it. So MS is, it's deserved. It's not free. You've made a promise. The promise was made because of a reason. Avram Avinu, he deserved it. It says in the Pasuk Beferish in a few parashios that because Avram Avinu, what he did, he commanded his children to go on the Derech Hashem. I promised him all of these things. It was deserved. So, and Hashem, you've been faithful. You've kept your promises. Because you've kept your promises, I have to suffer. My bank account has to be depleted. What does this mean? If I get a free lunch, so they'll come after me. The government will come after me and say, you took lunch for free, you took lunch, it was Gneva, we're taking the money. I work for the lunch. You have no right to go take money out of my bank account. What? How dare you? I earned what I took. If I didn't earn what I took, then the bank can come and take out the money from the account against my will. But now we're... So why is there here a diminishment of my zuchuyos because of MS? That's the question. It's a tough question. I think it's a really tough question, no? Why? So the only thing I can understand, you can say, is this is a very, very... This is something which is very controversial, to say something like this. Just because it's MS... Hashem is faithful that we have to really go back to the parashas Vo'era. Vo'era el Avraham el Yitzchak el Yaakov bekel Shakai. Ushmi Hashem loy noidati lohem. Rashi there says in parashas Vo'era that the Ovois only knew me by the name of Shakai. They did not know the name Yudkei Vavkei, which is the shame of MS. They never saw the fulfillment of MS. MS, Hashem is MS. But for a human being to merit, to see Hashem's MS, that is a chesed. There is no doubt about it that when a person does a mitzvah, he does a mitzvah, there will be reward. Something positive will come from it. A person does an avera, there will be punishment. But it's not your expectation in this world that you should merit to see it. There's a next world, there's another generation. When a person does mitzvahs, it's his duty to do the mitzvahs. To have emunah for every mitzvah, there will be reward, there will be punishment for an avera. But to hold Hashem hostage, to demand to see the MS, that's not your domain. And in fact, Hashem said this explicitly to Avram Avitu, to Moshe. Moshe, the Avos, Ushmi Hashem loy noidati. I did not make it known. They never in their lifetime saw the fulfillment of the promises. But not that I'm not. I'm going to be true to my word. They did not merit to see the Emes. And you, Moshe, you're going to see it, and you're still complaining. That was Hashem's complaint against Moshe Rabbeinu. So what do you learn from this? There's something called Emes. And there's something called being meriting to see the fulfillment of the MS. Yaakov Avinu here is saying, Yibayna Shalom, you've been so good to me. Not only have you given me things that I did not deserve, the things that I did deserve, or the haftochos which come, I'm trying to be more a little bit more elaborate than what Rashi is saying, the haftochos that have been made because of things that we deserved, I've actually seen it come true. I've seen it come true. I've seen it. Seeing the MS of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a gift that no man in this earth is entitled to. It's nothing more than a gift if a person merits to see the MS of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And therefore, that indeed can diminish from my merits. Okay, there's chesed, that's going to for sure take away. And then there's MS. The payment, no, that cannot take away. But the gift of seeing it in your lifetime. Wow, look at that. I did a mitzvah, it boomeranged. It boomeranged, and I now saw the Yad Hashem, how my performance of the mitzvah L'Shem Shemayim resulted in reward, resulted in blessing in this world. And I was zoche to see it. How was I zoche to see it? Hashem, He did this kindness with me. He allowed me to see the Emes. Ushmi Hashem lo noidati. They did not see. Our Yaakov says that to some degree I saw it. That in itself is a kindness which can take away from your merits, and that's what Yaakov Avinu is saying in the pasuk. Kotoindi mikol hachasodim umikol ha'emes. From the recognition, the awareness of seeing the Yad Hashem. Wow, that is a chesed. And therefore, I'm unworthy. And who knows how my merits have been diminished because of this revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, I'm in trouble. Seeing the Yad Hashem in this world is a kindness. You can't live a life expecting you're going to see it every single day. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is indeed so kind and gracious and goes lefnim mishur sadin and shows you the Yad Hashem that you deserve. You deserve, but Hashem also allows you the pleasure of seeing it. That's a kindness. Since the Pirkei Avos, Chavivin Yisrael, that they were created in the Tzelem Elokim. Chavivo Yisera, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu let man know that he was created in the image of Hashem. So there's something that's chaviv, it's precious that we are, but it did not have to be that the Ribbono Shel Olam will reveal to us this information. That is an extra bonus. And that's possibly what it means over here, why MS is also a diminishment of Kotointi. Okay, now I want to go to another part.
This expression that you put in an investment and then you want to see the dividends when you get older.
So you can't expect it.
That take away from a person's
estate. No, it's a chesed. It doesn't take away because that's not your kavan. It's a chesed. Hashem does us chesed the whole day. Hashem gives us every single second more than what we deserve. So He gives us another bracha. He lets us see it. He lets us see it also. But that's a chesed. The ability that Hashem should allow us to see the dividends, that's also a chesed. And that's what Yaakov Avinu said. But it's MS. I deserve it. That's right. You deserve it and you'll get it. How you'll get it, where you'll get it, that's none of your business. That's Hashem's domain. If I'm allowing you in this world to see the return on your investment, that's an additional chesed that I've done with you. So it's MS, but in that MS there's a chesed. And that chesed, Yaakov Avinu is claiming, is kotointi, is taking away from my zuchios.
My understanding is, though, that by the mitzvah of tzedakah, you're allowed to make it tonight.
That's a separate issue, right. No guarantees.
So there you want to see...
You can do one all you want, but there's no guarantee it's going to happen. That's what the Chazal say. If it doesn't happen, a guy, he goes crazy if it doesn't happen. A Jew, he accepts. You can want to make all the conditions you want. Will it happen or not? If Hashem will be true, we'll do it. It's still called Hashem is doing with you a kindness. Okay, let's go to another idea. This idea is a little bit more...
proof maybe to what you're saying is the way the Pasuk reads, Mikol HaKasadim U'Mikol HaAmes. They're two separate ideas. Rashi drops that Mikol. He keeps it together, Chesed Emes. The Targum keeps it separate.
The Pasuk says, Kotointi, Mikol HaKasadim, Mikol HaAmes. They're two separate things, correct. So I'm eating like really a word. It's the awareness of the MS. That's what I'm eating. That's a little of a chiddush. I'm eating, it's not that Hashem is MS. I'm eating that when we call MS, I'm trying to add in, is that this that I've recognized how Hashem has been faithful. Why do I take the liberty of adding that word into the Pasuk? Because in Parashas Vaera, it says those words in the Pasuk Beferish. It says, Avo'era el Avraham el Yitzchak v'el Yaakov bekel Shakai u'shmi Hashem loy noidati. So, and Rashi there says the midas amita sheli they never saw. You see, in Rashi in Parashas Vaera, emes doesn't just mean emes. Emes means the awareness of emes. Hashem is emes. Pashut Hashem is emes. But do we merit in this world to see Hashem's emes? So many people will say, yes, you have. If I MS is MS, you're entitled. No, you're not entitled. You learn from this pasuk, at least according to this interpretation, you're not entitled. You have to be an Eved Neman. You serve Hashem. You have Emunah Hashem is MS. Are you entitled to see the MS? No. If Hashem shows you the MS, it's because Hashem likes you. Hashem is doing with you kindness. And that kindness, Yaakov Avinu says, I'm afraid is going to deduct from my merits. It's a kindness to be zoicha to see the return on your investment. It changes your attitude in life. It's a bit of a chiddush. Okay, now let's go to another part. This part is a little more myrich, and this part is very chaviv to me, and spent a lot of time on this. Not a lot of time, spent time on this, and let's try to hear me out in the following vart. Let me tell you the end of the vart, which really has nothing to do with this parsha, but it's rooted in this parsha. The end we're going to is to explain. Why, when you give a bracha to your children Friday night, do you say, Yisimcha Elokim ki Ephraim v'chimnasha? Okay, why Ephraim v'chimnasha? Why do they merit to be the chosen ones? That every person in Klal Yisrael, every male in Klal Yisrael should be ki Ephraim v'chimnasha. What about Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? What about Moshe, Aaron, Shlomo? What about the Gedolei Hador of this generation? What is it about Ephraim and Menashe that they have been handpicked to be the dogma of bracha? Okay, that's the goal. That's what we're going to go to. But to go there, we have to go through a lot to get there. Let's go start off here with with Rashi in this week's parsha. In this week's parsha, Yaakov Avinu comes and he lines up his children to greet him, he presents them in front of his brother Esav. And he lines them up in a very precise order, who goes first and second. And Rashi tells us, Acharon, Acharon Chaviv. And the Pasuk says there are going to be a total of 11 children. Rashi is the Kash, 11 children? Yaakov has 12 children at this point in time. Ben Binyamin was not born. How many children did Yaakov have on record? We know they're twins, all these midrashim, but in the Pasuk and Torah, they have 13 children. 12 boys and one girl, Dina. I'm not making this up, right? There are 12, he has 12 sons and one daughter, Dina. Now you're telling midrashim about twins and girls and this, all right, I don't know. Let's not go into the midrashim. Let's learn the Pshutoi Shel Mikra. In the Pshutoi Shel Mikra, in the Bible, it says he had 13 children. At this point in time, when he greets Esav, he had 12 children. 11 boys and one girl. And he had four wives. He lines up the wives and the children in a very precise order. Everyone is mentioned, except for one person. Dina, his daughter, is not to be found. Where did she go? Where is she? Seminary? Where is she? Where is she? So what does Rashi say? Yaakov Avinu, he took her, put her in a box. He put her in a box and closed the box. Why did he do this? Because he was afraid that Esav would see her. And if Esav would see her, he would want to marry her. And he was a responsible father. No father, his biggest nightmare is for to allow a bloodthirsty Baltaiva, who put a hit out on his own life, right? He wanted to kill him. He sent Eliphaz to kill him. And his mother says, watch out, your brother wants to kill you. The last thing you would want is to go give your daughter to this person in marriage. Okay. So what happened? He put in a box. So if between me and you, he's a good father, right? He's not going to be arrested for child abuse. Okay, they're not going to write about him in the newspapers that he was an abusive father because he put his daughter in a box. He seems to be a very good, responsible father, what he has done. Correct? So now the question is, however, Chazal... What? Chazal are very critical of Yaakov Avinu. And they basically say he made a big mistake. Can they say Yaakov Avinu made a mistake? Rashi says in Farish. Rashi says, the Medrash elaborates and says, if you would have given your daughter to Esav, it would today be a different world. Biyadua, halacha, biyadua, Esav, Sonny, Es Yaakov, it would be a different world. She would have transformed him. She would have turned him around. She would have made him into a tzaddik. Esav would be a tzaddik like you never saw before. And the world today would be such a different world. And what us? What?
Maybe he would have been
so that so the Chazals. That's what we would think, right? That's what we think. That's what we think. We give him a Nobel Prize for being a good father. He protected his daughter because he would influence her, turn her into a Roshanta like him. And yet Chazal say Das Torah Hepuch Midas Bal Habayis. The Chazal say Yaakov made a mistake. He made a mistake. He's going to be the topic of discussion all over the magazines. All the magazines that Yaakov Avinu made a terrible mistake. He should have given his daughter to Esav. She would have turned him around. And as a punishment, they go so far to say such extreme things. And as a punishment for not giving his daughter to his brother, which had a bris milah, that is the reason why the next parsha begins with Shechem. She was abducted by an orel, by a shegetz, a guy who does not have a bris milah. Mida keneged mida. Halfway of a fellow what Chazal say. They criticize. Now, we're shocked out of our minds. What? Yeah. Yes, a very good kasha. Yes, a really good kasha. The Medrash. Rashi doesn't say the word mila. Rashi, the Medrash says it. Or you're saying a very good kasha. I don't know the answer. I don't know. It means a Jew. It means a Jew. He gave it to an Orel. Okay. Yeah, good kasha. But we're shocked. We're shocked to the core. What? What is going on over here? Come on. A little girl. Esav, how old? He was a little youngster at this point in time. And how old was she? She was a little girl. Going to give him to this bloodthirsty monster and she's gonna change him? Come on. I mean, what's going on over here?
And we see that Esav didn't do tshuva his entire life, unlike Ishmael.
Right. He never did tshuva. So what is going on over here? So here's the suggestion I want to make, and I want to prove it to you. There's something extremely unique about Dina that you don't find by anyone else. Dina was meant to be a boy. Right? We all know that. Leah had how many children? 6 boys. Dina, she was pregnant. She was expecting. And sonogram showed it's a boy. Okay? Those days, they were not so, you know, I want to know what it is. It's a boy. Dina, Leah realized, I have a sister. Her name is Rachel. She has no children. There's a Messiah, I have a Muna Pshuta, they're going to be 4 imos. And from the 4 imos, they're going to come out 12 Shvatim. If I'm going to have this boy, there's only going to be one more, I'll be number 11. There's only going to be room for one more. So it has to be. Hashem doesn't lie. The Messiah is MS. Rachel is going to have number 12. But that means Rachel will only have one child. I will have 7. And the Shvachites are going to have two, have had already 2 apiece. My sister Rachel will be Pachos min HaShvachas. Will be on a lower status than the Shvachites Bila V'Zilpah. What a charpa. My sister will never live this down. The pain that she will have, the zayin for Klal Yisrael will be so great. So Leah got up and davened a long Shmona Esrei that Hashem should transform this male into a nekeva, whatever this means, maybe whatever. I'm not going there. Whatever this means, she should not have a zohar, should have a nekeva, so that my sister should not suffer humiliation. To be pachas, very good. You're getting where I'm going. Should not be pachas, we're not to get there. We have a little few steps to get there. Pachas min hashvachas. And the Ribbono shel Olam accepted her prayer. Now that means as follows. Dina wasn't just a child that was born. Every child you have to daven, you have to shmaya. But Leah's whole essence, the fact that she is in a keva, is the product of tefillah. There are people that are born by accident. And then there are people that go at a mispala, and they go, it doesn't go so easy. And then mispala, they go for brachas, bracha. They go for a bracha to a rebbe, they have a child. And then there are people that daven and daven, and Hashem gives them a child. Dina was different. She was a nekeva. She was because who she was, who she was, because of a tefillah that my sister should not have tzar. I care about my sister's pain, suffering, humiliation, and I offered a unique prayer, and this is the product of that prayer. Again, some people don't daven. Miracles happen, they have a child. Some people have to go to a rebbe for a bracha. Some people daven themselves, and they produce children with their tefillahs. But this child here is something different about her. She's in a keva as a product of a tefillah that someone else should not suffer tzar. Now let me give you an example to illustrate this point. This is a famous one. I think it's from Yeruchim Levavitz. I think. One of the Balei Musar. Maybe it's from Chesed Levenstein. I don't know which of the big Balei Musar of the previous generation who said this vart. But this vart is a powerful vart. Very quickly, Chana did not have children. We read about Chana in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel. She didn't have children. Elkanah, her husband, and Chana and Penina tormented. Oh, we know the whole story. So she goes to the Beis HaMikdash, she goes to Shiloh. Who does she see there? Eli. She davens, and Eli says, what are you doing over here? Are you a Shikaira, v'chulu, v'chulu? And he gives her a bracha, and she has a child. She has a child, she names him Shmuel. She sends him off to Koilel when he's 2 years old. Mamish, 2 years old, he's shipped off to Eli HaKoy to be trained. Everything is going fine and good, and one day he makes trouble. He makes trouble, what does he do? He was Moire Halacha Bifnei Rabbi. He paskin the shayla in the presence of his Rebbe. He was disrespectful. Never happened before. 2-year-old is disrespectful. I was obviously older at this point in time. He was disrespectful. He paskin the halacha. Shchita ksher bizar. Whatever the halacha was. Chayav misa. Moire halacha bifnei rabbi chayav misa. leave the yeshiva, go home to your mother and tell your mother, you're chayiv misa, you're going to die very soon. Enjoy your last days. She goes home, Chana comes and says to Eli, Eli, what? Chayiv misa? What are you talking about? Don't you remember who I am? You gave me a bracha that I will have a child. Your bracha has to be true. It says in the Medrash something utterly shocking. Eli says, no, Yitaka, you're right. Yitaka, I gave you a bracha, you can have a child. And now this child of yours, Shmuel, is going to die. And what's going to be with my bracha? So you know what? You love another child. Love another child. No big deal. No big deal. He's going to die. We'll make a levaya. You'll go home. You'll have another child. You'll get pregnant. You'll have another child. Chana says to him, I'm sorry. El hanar hazeh hispalolti. It wasn't just your bracha, Eli. Let's don't get carried away over here. I davened for this child. This child, Shmuel, is a product of tefillah. If he dies and I get another child, that other child is not a product of tefillah. It's the product of a bracha, your blessing, your decree, your. But there was no tefillah invested in the replacement. But Shmuel, I davened for. This child is a product of the koyach tefillah. A human being that is the product of a koyach tefillah is irreplaceable. Is powerful, is potent, has kedusha that's beyond description. Giving me another child, you want to go into a laboratory and manufacture children? Very nice. Okay, there'll be robots. A child that came to Koyach HaTfilah is divine. El Hanar Hazeh Hispalolti. Dina was a product of Tfilah. El Hanaro Hazois Hispalaldi. Dina was a product of tefillah. Different type of person. Therefore, Dina, Chazal were very wise and clever in saying, there's nothing to worry about, that Esav will influence her. Pum tzakert. She will certainly influence Esav because her sanctity, her kedusha, is ironclad. She is a product of tefillah. If she has an issue with her husband, she'll dive into Shemona Esrei. She'll solve all the problems. Everything will be straightened out. She will overwhelm Esav HaRasha. How do you know this is true? Prove it.
Wait. Esav is also a product of tefillah. Yeah. Rivka davened for both of them.
Okay, good kasha. Okay, Esav vayisroel sabana bikirba. Okay, good kasha. I like the kasha. Okay, you got me. No, you're right. Okay, but let me answer you. The rebuttal. Every child you should know is a product. There's no such thing. But there's a difference in the tefillah.
It was both Yitzchak and Rivka. They were
both together. What were they mispalled for a child? You're 100% correct, and every child who is a tefillah. But here's the difference. It wasn't just a tefillah to have a child. It was a tefillah that my sister should not suffer humiliation.
Yeah.
That's different. Sensitivity to another person, ben adam lachaver, that's already different.
No, but it's similar to a Chana's tefillah.
What? I'm using Chan as a dogma. El hanar hazeh his koyach tefillah enters into the child. It's a product. Leah davened the tefillah. My sister should not suffer humiliation.
Did Leah know it was a boy or she didn't know it was a boy?
Whatever, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Chazal say this. Chazal make this statement. She was pregnant with number 7 and she was mispalel that it should not be in the Zohar because it would cause her sister humiliation. It was a different type of tefillah. A tefillah that relates to an extreme sensitivity, a unique sensitivity you have to someone else. That's already different. And when you're dealing with relationships, think about this, you're dealing with relationships, someone else, and now you have over here an Esav who only cares about himself, he's an Avodah Zarah, versus a person who cares about someone else, there's no competition Dina wins. A person who's a product of the sensitivity to someone else versus a person who's taiva, it's all about me, myself and I, there's no competition, Dina wins. Dina would have had him under in his hands like nothing. And what's the proof? Look at Shechem. Shechem was totally obsessed with her. And the expressions the Torah uses are so outrageous, it's not to be believed. Vatidbak nafshoi. His neshama was dovak in her. It says, choshka b'ni, my son has cheshek for her. It says, vayehav hanar. He loved her. The expression, ahava, cheshek, dveikos. These are heavy-duty words. These are words that we use in reference to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And here you're dealing with an RL? An RL?
But it was all tight, but it wasn't that he could do
it. No, these words are not simple words. V'dovak nafshoi, it says. Nafshoi. Vayeha v'sanara. And his father says, choshka b'ni. These are not dvarim shudim, these expressions.
You want to be malo, that's what shows up.
It's not simply the spirituality here. She would have won him over in a second. Chazal were correct. Chazal were correct in taking note that this is not a competition. Now, therefore, she would have won. Now let's go to our question. Who, isn't it amazing? We always give credit to, who do we give credit for sensitivity to someone else? Rachel. Who do we give? Rachel. Rachel mevake al bonecho yesochel lufuloseich num Hashem. Why? She gave the simonim to Leah. I don't want my sister to be humiliated. She gave the simonim and allowed Yaakov to marry Leah. Who was born as a product of that chesed? The Ferish Apostle. Vayizkor Elokim es Rochel. Last week's parsha. Hashem remembered Rochel. Vayiftach es Rachama. Opened up her. What did Hashem remember? Rashi. Hashem remembered she gave the simonim to Leah so that she should not be put to shame. This was the zuchus in why she had Yosef. It wasn't meant to be for her to have a child altogether. Isn't it an amazing thing? Here he is going under the chuppah to marry Yaakov Avinu. It would have been a dead-end marriage. She never would have had a child. What? Okay, but it says the zechus that brought about the birth of Yosef was Vayizko this chesed. Here she's under the chuppah, ready to get married, and Hashem knows the future. We don't know what's. If they would have gotten married, who says she would ever have a child? It's not meant to be for you. And here, she chose not to get married in order not to cause sorrow to her sister. And that zechus is what allowed her not only to get married, but to have the impossible, to have the child. It's half of the fella. And who was the product of that kindness? Yosef. Yosef is a product of an act of sensitivity to another human being. He was a sensitive person, Yosef. He cried, he was a balbechi. He had sensitivity because why was he a balbechi? He was the product of a person, a product of an act of sensitivity to another human being. Okay, who did Yosef marry? Osnas bas Potiphar. Who was Osnas? Osnas was the daughter of Dina. Ishobita, okay, daughter of Dina. From this act of Shechem, she had the Medrash. When Shechem took her, she became pregnant. That's what it says in the Medrash.
Did she never marry?
No, they killed him. He was dead the next day. Dina didn't marry him. Shechem abducted her. He lived with her. She got pregnant. A few days later, the brothers show up and they slaughter the whole town. They're all dead. 9 months later, she gives birth. The brothers were so embarrassed that her sister gave birth out of wedlock to this baby that the father was Shechem. So what did they do? It was such a busha for them, they sent her away to an adoption agency. They gave her up. That's what they did.
Shimon married them?
What? There are conflicting midrashim. conflicting. Let's work with this medrash because this is the most popular. This is the most popular. This is the Everyone says this. They were ashamed of her, so they sent her to an adoption agency. You take her and you find the place for her to marry. Oh, she's Jewish, whatever, before Matan Torah, whatever it is. So they found a candidate in Egypt, Potiphera. He didn't have children because he was a Saurus, because he worked. So he adopted her. He adopted her. And she came with a file. She came with a file where she came from. Hashkocha Pratis, Me Hashem Yotza Hadavar. Who ended up marrying her? Yosef. Yosef married Osnas Bas Potiphera. Chazal tell us she was the daughter of Dina. Who is Dina again? The product of a tefillah of sensitivity to my sister. From that came Osnas. The next, it's all tied Zebezeh because it's a punishment, it's all tied Zebezeh. The daughter. Who's Yosef? The product of an act of kindness that my sister should not be put to shame. Who's greater? Who's to say? Rachel did a maisa, an action. My sister should not put to shame. People, you know, a lot of people, they do a lot of good things. Why? You ask them. It's the right thing to do. How many people do you know they daven that someone else should not be put to shame? That in a certain dimension is even greater than doing it. You do something, okay, you do it. It's on record. To daven, no one knows what you're davening for. To daven that my sister should not be put to shame. Rachel did something for Leah, and Leah did something for Rachel. Leah davened for Rachel. She should not be put to shame. As a product of Rachel came Yosef. A product from Leah came Dina, Osnas. Yosef married Osnas. It's a match made in heaven. The two people who are products of sensitivity of ben Odom lachaveroi to the nth degree. Who did they produce? Ephraim and Menashe. Is it a question then why you bless your children yisimcha Elokim ke Ephraim v'chem Menashe, that your children should take the effort to be concerned about someone else other than themselves? The most important midah possible. It's not about you, it's about someone else. They are the product of two sisters. None of the other Shvatim, can you say this? None of the other Shvatim have these elements. Rashi, what she did, Yosef is a product of Chesed. Dina is a product of Chesed. Tzfila, that my sister and I put the same. And they came together to produce Ephraim and Menashe. Can you only begin to imagine who Ephraim and Menashe were? What they represent? And this is why we focus on Ephraim and Menashe. Okay, let me conclude with one last vart, short vart. Skedai this vart. Unfortunately, all right, we have to do one last vart. One last vart, short vart. We learned this week about the change of name of Yaakov Avinu to Yisrael. The truth is, all of the others had a name change. Avram to Avraham. Yaakov to Yisrael. Now, what about the middle one? Yitzchak? What's the name change? There's a name change. A whole lot of Torah on this. Yitzchak. At a bris mila, what do we say? Yitzchak. Yis with a sin, not with a tzadi. What is his real name? Is his real name Yitzchak or is it Yitzchak? It's a question. Some learn his real name is really Yitzchak, and he had a name change from Yitzchak to Yitzchak. It's in Divrei Hayamim. It's a pasuk. It's a pasuk. A pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. When we mentioned the Bris Mila, Tzachok Asli Elokim Simcha Joy. But so that's the question. Maybe his real name was Yitzchak with the tzadi, what Sarah said, and then later on he was changed as he got a name change. It's not recorded in the Torah, but it's recorded in Divrei Hayamim. He got a name change to Yitzchak. Some of the Farshim are the other way around. They gave him by the bris Yitzchak, like we say by a bris. We refer to him by a bris mila in the Pesukim that we cite as Yitzchak. And at some point in time, Hashem said, no, I want you to change his name to Yitzchak. Okay, it doesn't say that Sarah called him Yitzchak. It doesn't say in the part that Sarah called him Yitzchak. It says Tzachok Asli Elokim Kol Asher Yitzchakli, and then it says that they called him Yitzchak called him, Avram called him Yitzchak. Who told you to call him Yitzchak? I already called him Yitzchak. No, Hashem intervened. I want you to change his name. Okay, that's a side point. But here's my question. Simple question. Why is it? It's not my vart. I don't know who says this. Beautiful vart. Why is it that when Avram was named with Shemesh Avram to Avraham, it's forbidden to call Avraham Avram? Once the name was changed, you're done. But Yaakov and Yisrael, even though he got a name change, there's no prohibition to call him Yaakov. In fact, the Torah continues to call him Yaakov to the very end. Sometimes we call him Yaakov, sometimes we call him Yisrael. What's the difference? It's very simple. What does Yaakov mean? Yaakov means the heel. It represents, humility, lowliness, anava. When you're oyla ligedula, there's no such thing as losing humility. Avram, he was the Av Avram. Now you have a new job. Now you're the Av Raham of the Hamoinam, the whole world. You have a new job. Let's say you have a new resume. It's forbidden to go to refer to him after his old purpose in this world. But when the essence of your name is humility, just because you're Oyle Ligedula, you become Yisrael, a Tsar, a prince. There's no such thing in this world as abandoning humility. Humility stays with you forever. He was called Yaakov because he was represents Okev. It's the lowest part of the body. It represents a darg of humility. Now you're Oyle Ligedula, you're a great person, you're Yisrael, you've conquered the world. Very good. Don't forget to be humble. Me'oid, me'oid, hevei, shefal, ruach. No one is exempt, even the greatest of the great, from humility. Yaakov can never go away from a person. You achieve humility that remains and has to remain even when you achieve the shlemus of Yisrael. Avram and Avraham have nothing to do with humility. Has to do with your purpose. My purpose is to be a rabbi in this shul. My purpose is to be the rabbi, the chief rabbi. So, you don't call him by the hometown. You call him by the chief rabbi. It's forbidden. It's a bezoyin to the rabbi to call him, you're the rabbi of the kindergarten. You call him, you're the rabbi of the state of Israel. You change topic. But humility, that always must remain. That is an important lesson. Have a wonderful Shabbos.